Psalm 93. Let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says this, Psalm 93. Again, this just a reminder, as everybody's finding your place there, a reminder that this passage and this section of Psalms 90 to 106, dealing with a pilgrim journey. Pilgrim journey, and parallels very loosely the book of Numbers and some of the things that happened there. So tonight, Psalm 93, we're continuing our pilgrim journey. Amen. Psalm 93, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forevermore. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you. Thank you for another opportunity to assemble together as a church family. Lord, we thank you for the good day you've already given us. Thank you for rising again from the dead. Thank you for loving us enough that you would die on the cross for our sins and take our place. And I pray that we would give you our life and our all for the love that you've shown us. I pray you'd help us tonight now, Father, that my words and thoughts would be acceptable in your sight, be controlled by you, that the power of the Holy Ghost be upon me. As the words go forth, that they would fall upon receptive hearts. And now, Lord, these are good reminders in these Psalms about the things to come. They are warnings for some. Lord, for others, they're points of rejoicing that we won't have to go through the days that are described here. And I pray that you'd help us tonight to be diligent to preach the gospel to every creature around us in these last days. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible Weather Service has issued a severe storm warning for all the world. It'll be in effect until Jesus reigns in the millennial kingdom. Boisterous winds of doctrine and floods of ungodly men are occurring. Spiritual wickedness in high places is getting higher, with conditions expected to wax worse. Seek immediate shelter in Christ and stay tuned to God's word for further instruction. You want to title this tonight? You can title it A Severe Storm Warning. A Severe Storm Warning. Yeah, you like it when your phone gives you that notification. Woo, thunderstorm's coming, right? This psalm tonight is dealing with, of course, millennial kingdom in view. And if we're continuing our pilgrim journey from Psalm 92 Wednesday night about that solemn, sober sound and the need for sobriety in these last days in the church, it is required, I would say, for us to be able to manage and weather the storms and the waves and the floods of this life that are going to hit us on this pilgrim journey. I've never been out in the West, down in Southwest America down there, but they say those canyons out there around the Grand Canyon, you got to be careful hiking in those, because all of a sudden a thunderstorm will pop up and a flash flood will come through, and numerous folks have lost their lives because of that. I wonder how many flash floods of ungodly men have taken people out of churches just like this. I wonder how many storms and floods that were unexpected have crept into the lives of a believer, and because they weren't sober-minded and they weren't thinking biblically about their life and their lot, that they were washed away and swept away with the winds of doctrine and the floods of ungodly men. It's happened all the time. Happens all the day, every day. The psalm, as I said, set in the millennial kingdom, where if you look, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. That'll be a great day. The Lord reigneth, and it says that he is clothed with majesty. What a beautiful sight that'll be. The Lord is clothed with strength, and wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. And so we see the context here. Verse 2, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Can only be talking about God. Can only be talking about Jesus, sitting on the throne in that millennial kingdom. Now, what I want you to understand is this. The floodwaters that we're going to look at here in a minute, that are talked about in verses 3 and 4, the floodwaters are rising. Or we might call it this way, high tide is coming in. You ever been at the beach and you set your station up out there and you go out and you build a sandcastle and everything's dry and everything's, you're yards away from the waves, and then you sit there and you fall asleep and you wake up sunburnt on your feet, And all of a sudden, the waves are lapping at your toes. And you think, how'd that happen? It was over a course of hours. And that water comes up. And if you don't move, it'll come up over you. You know what? That's a picture of the waves of ungodliness in the world that we live in. It's coming up, but it's coming up slowly. And if you and I don't pay attention, it's going to come up around us. And it's going to rise, and it's going to... You know those waves of the ocean never stop, do they? Isn't that an amazing thing? They're just constantly... Shh, shh. Some of you like to sleep with that. Shh. And it's a constant rhythm. Until a storm comes or something like that, and then here comes the storm surge. You know what I've noticed in this life that you and I are living today? Is there's been in my 40 years, I'll go ahead and round up, in my 40 years, there's been a number of storm surges. There's been a number of high tides that have come. But what I've noticed is this, that every time those storm surges retreat, it never goes all the way back to where it was. It always stays just a little bit higher. And the water stays just a little bit higher. And the water of ungodliness, if you will, stays just a little bit higher. I'll put this in context to you, and then we're going to go on and define some of this tonight. You know what COVID-19 was? COVID-19 was a storm surge. And you would agree with me tonight that the wickedness of this world has not receded back to where it was in 2019. It stayed up here, just like your gas prices. But every time one of those storms happens, every time one of those floods of ungodly men starts to show itself, it never retreats back to where it was before. It's always just coming incrementally, slowly, ever so slowly, higher and higher and higher. And if you're familiar with floods, Brother Adam and I have talked about this a lot. We go fishing over at our trip. And the last big flood on the Clinch River that I remember, the bridge at our trip was underwater. 19 feet of water over that bridge. And you know what? You can see the mark. When a river is going through a flood stage and it reaches its highest point, what do they call it? The crest. And you know what this world's wickedness is doing? You know what the floods of ungodly men in this world are doing? They're rising and rising and rising. And listen, they're going to crest during the last 2.5 years of that tribulation period. It's going to be the highest it'll ever be. Now, keep that in mind. And let's go over here to Psalm 18. I've quoted this. I kind of maybe got ahead of myself a little bit. But I wanted to grab your attention before you went to sleep from all that food today. Psalm 18. Psalm 93 talks about the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And it says that the mighty waves of the sea. If you look here at Psalm 18 verse 4. Well, look at verse 1. The Bible says this, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Look what verse 4 says. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. You ever been there? I have. I know. Well, preacher, you're not supposed to say that. Listen, man. When ungodly men get the microphone in this country, and the news media plasters it all over the place, that's worrisome. Because they won't give a preacher that kind of press. They won't give somebody that's going to tell them the truth that kind of press. So they give ungodly men all this airtime and all this influence. And I'm telling you, sometimes you look at that stuff and it ought to scare you. The floods of ungodly men. Look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, God is making an absolute reference to the last days and the tribulation time before Jesus comes back to set it all right. Daniel chapter 9, if you know your Bible, this is the famous passage on Daniel's 70th week, which is the tribulation time. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, we'll just read a couple of verses here. Daniel 9, 24. The Bible says this, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, God speaking to Daniel, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand, verse 25, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end, watch. The end thereof shall be with a flood. Well, we know that ain't water because God said he'd never do that again. So that has to be the floods of ungodly men rising through the apostate days of the lukewarm Laodicean church, rising through the first part of the tribulation time of the Antichrist, continuing to rise and maybe even more rapidly in those last 3.5 years until it crests right before Jesus Christ steps back on the scene. It's a flood. It's not water. It's a flood of ungodliness. It's a flood of wickedness. It's a flood of, fill it in, debauchery and pride and abominations all over the world. And he says that unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Let's go to Revelation. Oh, I should tell you what, you're right there. Go to Jeremiah quickly, and then we'll go to Revelation 12. Let's reverse a few parking spaces there to Jeremiah 47. Jeremiah 46 and 47. And these floods mentioned in Psalm 93 have nothing to do with water. The waves mentioned are purposefully illustrative of the waves of wickedness that lap at the shore of righteousness and godliness and tries to erode it away. By the way, isn't that what a flood water does? Cuts that bank away, erodes that bank. What's that ocean do, man? You can sit there and watch that ocean. That wave comes up, and when it comes back out, it just pulls that sand out there to it, just like the world pulls so many Christians. Wave after wave after wave hits their shore, and little bits of them just keep coming unless they're founded on the rock. So many typologies. Jeremiah 46, Bible says this in verse 7, Jeremiah 46, 7. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Watch. Egypt riseth up like a what? That is not water, friends. That is a nation rising in wickedness like floodwaters. And he goes on to say, and he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth and will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Jeremiah 47. Jeremiah 47. If you look at verse 1. Jeremiah 47, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines. Before that Pharaoh smote Gaza, thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north. Well, we know destruction is coming from the north, right? We can argue all day who Gog and Magog is. Doesn't matter. God said they're waters. Now watch. And shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land, and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and the inhabitants of the land shall howl. That's prophecy of the tribulation. And it's not floodwaters flooding Jerusalem, it's floods of wickedness. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. not every time, but most times in your Bible, when you see many waters or floods and those kind of things, especially after Genesis 6 and 7, you can mark it down because God said he would never flood the earth again with physical water, but it's the floods of ungodliness. It's the floods of ungodly men. It's the waves of wickedness that are rising. He says in Revelation 12, verse 13, and when the dragon, well, we know who that guy is, don't we? When the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. This is a picture of God protecting Israel during the tribulation time. The dragon's the devil and the woman, the man-child's Israel. Okay, keep going. 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Come on, listen. You don't know a dragon anywhere in mythology that's got enough power to flood the whole nation of Israel with physical water. What's the flood coming out of his mouth? It's destruction for the Jewish nation. The Antichrist is in control. And listen, you know, COVID-19, I hope you can see this, was a flood out of somebody's mouth. All it took was Fox News, CNN, CBS, NBC, and all the other ones to say, stay home, it's dangerous out there, and the world freaked out. What happened? They got caught in a flood. Man, it wasn't water, it was words out of somebody's wicked mouth. You ever been in a sporting event when they did the wave? All the announcer's got to do is, hey, section one, let's get the wave started. People, yeah, let's do it. It's not water. It's the movement of people in their spirit by words. And that dragon, he's going to issue a flood of words out of his mouth that says, kill all those Jews. And the world says, absolutely, let's go. Just that quick. All right, here we go. 16, the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So all I want you to see in all those verses is waters, floods, all this is dealing with wickedness and ungodliness in nations and groups of people. Okay? All right. During Jacob's trouble, as I said, the flood waters will crest on this earth. They will be the highest they've ever been. And the water is certainly rising up today. You're in Revelation 12. Let's go to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Getting ready to finish this thing up now. Not the message, but it's 18 minutes. Revelation 17, verse 14. Bible's talking about here the mystery of harlots, verse 5, and all that the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to do. And it says, verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, capital L. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I'm there. How about you? Hallelujah. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Okay. And boy, you could just go forever talking about this mother of harlots and how she moves floods of men in her direction and all. I mean, it's just amazing when you start to think about it like this. So from the perspective in the millennial kingdom, Jews who refuse to take the mark of the beast and who want to obey God's commands will have floods, and the floods are going to lift up their voice in opposition to God and to that nation and try to destroy them, try to overtake them, overflood them. Okay, it has nothing to do with water. It's all about people. And also, when Jesus is on the throne in the millennial kingdom. Now, you understand, when he does that, sin has not been abolished yet. People have a choice in that millennial kingdom to line up with King Jesus or else, and there'll be plenty that choose or else. And there'll be those tries and those floods to get started. And listen, you know, when that 1,000 years is over, we talked about this last Sunday morning, the devil has to be loosed for a little while. And he goes about and he deceives the whole world again. And he gets them in opposition to Jesus Christ. How does he do that? With that flood of ungodliness. All right, now, as I've said, I hope that you can see some of this in your life. And the most recent example is COVID. COVID was a massive flash flood on this earth. Had nothing to do with water, everything to do with spiritual wickedness. And here it came. I'm not talking about people that died, because we hate that. But everybody in this church knows somebody who got washed away in the floodwaters of wickedness from COVID. And you've seen the wickedness rise, and it crested, and it's gone back down, but it will not recede to where it was in 2018, 2019. It's going to stay right here. And then the next one that comes, it's going up, and it's not coming back down to 2022 levels. It's going to stay up there, and it will continue to do that until the cresting during the tribulation time. I hope you can see that. You know, as I've said, waves on the ocean, they just keep coming. Anybody ever been out there in the surf, you know, about up to your waist, and you're sitting there and you're laughing, maybe somebody's taking your picture, and all of a sudden, poosh! Glad my glasses stayed on. You ever seen that? And you get up and you say, what just poosh? That, I mean, it's comical when that happens to somebody at the beach. But it's not comical when that happens to somebody in the church. And it's not comical when it happens to you in your spiritual life. And you get up and all you try to do is take a breath and it just fills it with all that junk again. Guys, that's the pilgrim journey down here. The floodwaters are getting deeper. But they're creeping up. Almost to the point where you can't tell what's happening until it gets to be the danger zone. I've been on a trout river before fishing. And a thunderstorm come through. And I'll step back out there. It's over in Damascus. I step back out there. And I'm fishing away, man. I'm having a good time. And all of a sudden, that rock that you were sitting beside is underwater. And you keep going, catch a few more fish. And all of a sudden, it's up to about mid-thigh. And you think, I better move. Or this is not going to end well. So what did God tell us? Hey, Christian, walk circumspectly. Be of a sober mind. Amen. The waters are coming up. They're coming up. A little bit of physical science here. Waves of the ocean erode the seashore. We've talked about this. Floods in rivers change the bottom of the river and the edges. I can remember fishing the Clinch River the summer before this massive flood happened during February, and go back the next summer after February, and the hole that had all the good smallmouth in it's gone. It's filled with gravel. It's filled with rocks. We go down to Artrip down there. There's an island right below the Artrip Bridge that now has two braided cuts through it that weren't there 5 years ago. Say, how's that happen? A lot of power, a lot of water. You know, this world's making inroads in places it's never made them before. Because the banks are giving way. The floodwaters are coming up. They've got enough velocity with them. Listen. Churches like ours are getting pieces and parts cut off. Getting channels cut through them that never got cut through them. Why? Because they didn't reinforce the banks against that floodwater. It's happening all the time. Waves are powerful. Floods are powerful. They're impressive in damage. Hurricanes cause huge storm surges. They're driven by the wind. Thunderstorms and flash floods and prolonged rain events raise the stream and river levels sometimes overnight and other times over days. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. You'll know where I'm going. But that's okay. We'll know when we get there. Matthew chapter 7. Severe storm warning for the world. It's going to get a lot worse than it is today. Maybe a severe storm warning for the church. Perhaps we ought to batten down the hatches. Perhaps we ought to, well, I'll get ahead of myself. Matthew 7 verse 24, Jesus speaking here, he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." Now think about this. Because I've preached this, and every other preacher in the world's preached this, about the trials and difficulties and hardships in your life when Fifi dies and you get a cold. Think about this tonight in light of what we've just read about the floods being wickedness and ungodliness. It'll read differently to you. Okay, here we go. "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew." You know, Paul talks about those winds of doctrine blow people around. "And the winds blew and beat upon that house." Come on, you tired of getting beat up by the world? I am. You tired of all the floods of ungodliness lapping at your door? I am. You tired of all the winds of doctrine trying to blow through and carry people away? I'm sick and tired of it. Look what it says. "And it fell not." Why? "For it was founded upon a rock. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house." And I've made the point since I've been blue in the face through this, that's the same storm. Come on, man. Listen, lost people went through COVID just like you did. And some of them lost their mind. Some of them lost their life. Lost people go through the wars and the tumults and all the spiritual wickedness in high places that continues to rise. Lost people go through that and it erodes out from underneath them just like they're standing at the beach. Come on, have you ever stood at the beach and just stood there and let those waves hit your feet? If you don't move, it'll cut that sand out from underneath you and you'll fall. Next time you go, try it. And you'll know the preacher was right. Because I tried it the last time I was there. And it will. It just sucks that sand out from underneath you. Just like the world, suck it right out from underneath your feet. And Jesus said, "The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, the same storm. And it fell. And great was the fall of it." Interesting to think about that. The storm and the rains and the wind of ungodliness. I'll tell you today, church, the spirit of Antichrist is blowing some strong winds. That spirit of Antichrist is blowing some loud, boisterous, violent, severe storms. And if your life and my life's not founded on Jesus Christ, we're gone. We're gone. Psalm 93. Psalm 93. Isn't the Bible great? It's the most fun you've had all week, isn't it? Psalm 93. It's going to get gooder now. Hold on. Amen. Somebody's awake. That's a blessing. Psalm 93, verse 4. Now, watch. We've seen those floods are mighty. Yes. Those floods are powerful. Yes, those winds are boisterous and loud and noisome, right? Verse 3. The floods lift up their waves. Verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Hey, man, Russia can scream. China can scream, Mexico can scream, everybody in the world can scream, and their wickedness rise, but God's better than all of them. Amen. And He's louder and He's mightier than all of them. Now keep this in mind. Let's go to, there ain't no way I can do this without blowing the punchline. But anyway, Matthew 8. All right, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Yes, Matthew 8. The storms of ungodliness, the floods are rising. They're strong, they're violent, they're scary. But if Jesus Christ is your Lord, He's better than all of them. The next time the news media tries to scare you and tell you a story about some conspiracy theory that China's trying to hack us and you get worried about whether gas is going to go over $8 a gallon, just remember Jesus is better than that country called China. Just remember, He's better than that news media. He's stronger than all that. We had better be praying for the leaders of this country the way God told us to pray for them. Because you and I are not going to stop them. God will have to stop them. And if His people will cry out to Him, He might just do it. Wouldn't it be great for Him to just stay the wickedness in Washington, D.C., for 3 more years. Just put a hold on it. He did it in Virginia. Nobody gave Virginia a chance. But while Northam was in there, the waters rose. And they crested. And they've gone down a little bit, but they're not going all the way back down. Matthew 8:23. You know this. We're going to read all three of these tonight. Actually, I'll tell you what. We'll do it on the next turn. Matthew 8:23. Bible says this. And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. Jesus, obviously. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Go to Mark 4. Keep your finger in Matthew 8 and also grab Luke 8. I'll repeat that. Hold your finger in Matthew 8, go to Mark 4 and also grab Luke 8. Sunday night crowd, I think we can probably handle this. Okay. Keep Matthew 8, go to Mark 4 and also grab Luke chapter 8. All right, we'll look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says, in the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship, and there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Luke 8:22. Luke 8:22. Came to pass on a certain day, He went into a ship with His disciples, and He said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and woke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and rebuked the wind, the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a great calm. And He said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. Isn't that a great, great story about Jesus? Now, think about this. Where are they going? The other side. Lest we quote every bad Southern gospel song, we'll stop there. What's on the other side? I remember. was a man called the Maniac. I wonder why this storm came up. I've often wondered this. I have stood on the eastern side of the Lake of Galilee, up on what is called the Golan Heights. The Sea of Galilee, which is really just a huge lake. You can see to the other side. It's not like the ocean, okay? Sea of Galilee sits here. And on this side, the western side is Israel. And then it goes up on what's called the Golan Heights into Syria. And we were able to take our tour bus up there and stand on top of the Golan Heights and look out over the Sea of Galilee and see all those towns and all those places that Jesus ministered while he was over there. Just incredible. But it hit me as I stood there. And one of the guys, the pastors were sitting there talking, he said, I wonder what that storm looked like. I mean, you can see the whole lake. It had to have been an isolated thunderstorm, just, you know, in meteorology terms. Nonetheless, a storm. And the waves start lapping over the boat, and the disciples, undoubtedly, they get scared to death. And you know what I think? Because if I was up there on the Golan Heights, this is what I would do. If there was a big thunderstorm out there, I'm going to go watch it. Anybody like to watch thunderstorms beside me? And I think there's probably some people out there watching that thunderstorm. And all of a sudden they start looking and say, man, there's a boat out there. There's a little fishing boat out there. Look at that. And maybe a little crowd gathers and here, man, this storm is just dumping the rain and lightning and thunder. And here's that little fishing boat out there and they're looking at it. Man, the wind's just whipping by them watching this. And all of a sudden they see somebody stand out there and go, and it stops. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? And you know those people over there watching that said, what just happened right there? Amen. Right. And remember how they met him when Jesus came? We don't want you here, man. I wonder if the devil sent that. Well, they call it a derecho. Sounds wicked, doesn't it? What if the devil sent that? You know, because he's always trying to knock Jesus off his feet. And he knows that when Jesus gets to Gadara, he's going to meet one of the devil's champions. Just something to think about. But if we put this in context of this tonight, if the disciple, you know, so many times I think we maybe misinterpret the New Testament a little bit, or at least I shouldn't say that because that's not the Gospels, the Gospel accounts, because so much of that is still about Israel. If we take the disciples in the boat with Jesus to be a picture of the Jews that he's protecting during the tribulation, and the winds and the floods begin to blow and the waves begin to crash, and they cry out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now I told you tonight, the waves and the wickedness and the floods of this world are going to crest during the tribulation time. They're going to be at their most violent, most destructive in that last 3.5 years when that Antichrist is on the throne. Jesus, in those accounts, steps up on the bow of that boat, and I just, in my own mind, he says, peace be still, and the winds and the waves stopped immediately. And I'm telling you, the floods of ungodliness, the floods of wickedness are going to be at their most violent on this earth those last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and Jesus Christ is going to step back on this earth and say, peace, be still, and they're going to lay down. He's going to do it again. What a beautiful picture. I'm glad I'm on his side. Yeah. What's a thunderstorm, man, when you put the whole United Nations down with the word of your mouth? That's some power. Hey, my Savior, he's mighty. He's mightier than all those waves. He's mightier than all those floods. He's just better. He's just better. Now, let's go ahead and put it back in our boat, will you? By the way, are you in Jesus' boat? Maybe better yet, is he in your boat? Talked about that this morning, right? He dwells in you if you're saved. and the winds and the waves and the wickedness and ungodliness of this world. Listen, they can blow at your little boat. A wave might capsize over every now and then. But if you've got Jesus in your boat, you're going to be just fine. Amen. But I want you to look at the questions he asked the disciples. Luke 8:25, probably you're there. Look what he says. Luke 8:25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? I wonder if he has to ask some born-again, independent, Baptist, Bible-believing, King James-only people that from time to time when the world starts to blow in their direction. Amen. And we cry out, Lord, help us! And he says, where's your faith? I'm mightier than that. It's a subtle reminder that Jesus is better than all the junk in this world. Listen, man, when the news headlines come and you hear the chatter around the water cooler and you hear something or you see something in this world. Now, spiritually, I'm talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. When you see that, principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world flexing their muscles and the floods getting deeper, would you just remember, if you're saved and born again tonight, Jesus is better than all that. And he said, if you've got the Holy Ghost in you, and you do if you're saved, greater is he that's where? In you than he that's in the world. Amen. Don't let the floods of ungodliness scare you. Amen. Don't let the floods of ungodliness knock you off your path and erode the ground out from underneath your feet. Jesus ought to be your rock. Amen. He's better than that. Look what he says, Acts over in Matthew chapter 8. And still hold your place here in Mark 4. Look what he asked the question, where's your faith in Luke 8? In Matthew 8, verse 26 now, and he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I wonder if God had to say that to some people during COVID. What are you scared about? Why are you going with the flow? Sobering questions. In Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 40, Jesus asked this question. Mark 4:40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Look what he says. How is it that you have no faith? Now, those disciples, they'd already watched Jesus do a bunch of miracles. And he looks at him and says, why are you worried about a little thunderstorm? Come on, God done some great things in your life. He has in my life. If you're saved tonight, it's probably the greatest miracle he's done. And when the world begins to blow at you and the waves begin to crash and maybe even knock you a little bit off your comfort zone, just remember, if you're saved, Jesus is better than all that. How is it that you have no faith? So tonight, remember this. When the next pandemic hits, because you better believe it's coming. And it will be worse than the last one. That was a trial run. See what we can get away with. Next one that comes, it'll actually be lethal. I mean, like, really lethal. And it will scare born-again Bible believers into submission to the government and submission to this world unless they know Jesus is better and believe that. Amen. And that's easy to preach right now. And it'll probably be hard to live when it comes. But I pray for grace and help for all of us when it does. Now, the next war comes. The next rumor of a nuclear weapon getting shot somewhere. When the next political uprising happens. When the next threat to your comfort zone in America hits your doorstep. Just remember, Jesus is better. He's more powerful than all that. And if it does happen to kill you, what a promotion it'll be. Psalm 93. Well, that Bible just nails it every time, doesn't it? God knew what he was doing. Praise the Lord, we've got a copy of his word. Psalm 93. You and I can't be sure about anything in this world except what we're getting ready to read. Psalm 93, verse 5, thy testimonies, speaking to God about his testimonies. Thy testimonies are very sure. It's a rock on which you can stand. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Now, come on back over here. Just since you're there, we're going to finish up right here. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, great chapter on the Word of God. And it says almost verbatim what Psalm 93, 5 says. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Hey, that's a good one, Brother Dan, for VBS. We might hold on to that one. The testimony of the Lord is sure. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. You know how you can be wiser in this world? Love, read, obey, hide that word in your heart that you might not sin against him. God knows the end from the beginning. And he's told us what he wants us to know. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. In the end, Jesus wins. Don't turn your back on him. In the end, Jesus is victorious. And he'll give you the victory now over all these fears and all these floods and all these waters and all these waves in your life. He'll help you with all this if you'll let him. And he may, before he steps back on this earth again at the second advent, he may just step out in your life when the wickedness of this world is starting to overtake you. He might just step out there in your little world and say, peace be still. And just knock it down for a little bit. But you can guarantee when the floodwaters come up in this world, they never go all the way back down. They just keep rising and keep rising and keep rising. But I'm on the Lord's side. How about you? Got your life built on the rock?